This morning we want to talk about being evangelistic like Paul. And Paul certainly was a good example of an evangelist for us. But he certainly wasn't the only one in the New Testament. Jesus taught all of his followers to be evangelistic. And of course, it's kind of an odd word. It's one of those English words that's not really an English word that we've kind of stolen from a Greek word and made it mean something that's kind of different than what it really originally meant. In the original Greek language, the word that we get evangelistic and evangelist and evangelism and all of those evangel words, evangelical and all these words that we get, comes from a Greek word that literally means good news. And so I said, well, what does that mean then? We're going to be good news? We can't be good news, but what it really means is when we use it like evangelistic, it means that we spread the good news, that we tell the good news. And the ones who were good news tellers, so to speak, were people like Paul. And so we call them evangelistic in English, but really, it's kind of sad because when you use terms like evangelistic or evangelical, it's interesting that a study was done just this past couple of weeks, the results came out the past couple of weeks anyway, of how people felt, people in the United States, felt about various different religious groups. And they asked them about Jews, Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, atheist. They asked them about all these different religious groups, Hindu, Buddhist, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and evangelicals. And what's interesting is they had done this same survey of people several years back, and comparing the results from several years back to the results that they just did recently, this year, what they found was that people's feelings toward all of these different religious groups had gone up. In other words, people felt better about them. They felt a more positive feeling toward all of these religious groups except for one, the evangelical. Now, it's kind of sad because if evangelical, if that really was doing what it's supposed to be doing, if that's really telling people good news, why wouldn't people feel good about a group of people who are telling them good news? Of course, there are a lot of reasons for that and a lot of things involved. Of course, one of those things is that in the process of telling the good news about Jesus, some people will reject that good news, and when they reject the good news, that means only bad news for them. And people don't like to hear bad news. So they would rather not hear the good news than hear the good news and not want to follow it, not want to accept it, not want to take advantage of it. So it's a very interesting thing that's happening in our society with the idea of sharing our knowledge about Jesus Christ and sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that good news. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus talks to the disciples about being fishers of men. He says in those verses surrounding that, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" And so he did that. They followed him, they put down their net, and they followed after him. Luke 5 verses 1 through 11 tells an even longer version of a similar story where this happened again, where they had been out fishing and all night long had caught nothing. And then Peter is told by Jesus to, cast out, go out deeper into the water, and let's try to catch some fish. And of course he complains about having worked all night. And he said, well, I'll do it anyway. So he said, I'll do it. And so he does. And they catch so many fish that their boat begins to sink. And Peter comes down when they get back to land. He falls down. He says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And they were astonished at what Jesus had done and the number of fish that they had caught. And Jesus then says to them, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. And so these, certainly this isn't talking about Paul here. These are about Peter and James and John and Andrew and some of the earliest disciples that we read about here that were actually fishermen who became fishers of men. But Paul, even though he was never a fisherman, he also became a fisher of men, a fisher of men. And we want to learn some of the things, not necessarily specifically things from his life, but principles that he applied in his life in order to be a good fisher of men. And hopefully we can learn how to apply those things in our lives so that we too can be somewhat like Paul. I doubt any of us will probably ever be the person that Paul was. You know, there's no telling how many congregations he started in various places because he traveled around preaching and in places that the gospel had never gone before. The good news had never been shared in some of these places. And so he went there and he shared that good news. And he began to convert people and started congregations in multiple cities. We read about several of those in the account in Acts, but there's certainly probably even more that he did that we don't even read about. And certainly the other disciples did these things as well, various different ones traveling in various directions to various places and sharing the gospel as they went. The first thing, though, that we want to notice is if we're going to be evangelistic like Paul, it's going to take some commitment. Fishing is not something that just happens right quick and it's easy and there's no problem and you never miss and you always get what you went for. Kind of like hunting in that respect. Maybe next year hunting season we'll have a hunting sermon instead of a fishing sermon. But you know, there's things about fishing. You've got to know what to do. It's not something that just comes naturally to a lot of people. Certainly there are some differences between the way they fished in the first century and the way that most people fish today. And certainly their fishing that Jesus talked to Peter and Andrew and James and John about, that kind of fishing was probably a lot more like our commercial fishing today than like the solo angler going out there and throwing a line in the water. It was probably much more the nets and those kinds of things that are still used today in commercial fishing. But we have to learn that fishing takes a commitment. So if we're going to be evangelistic like Paul, if we're going to fish for men, it's going to take commitment. Now hopefully that doesn't mean sitting there in the boat till both you and the fish die. And it looks like he's maybe got his little doggy in the boat with him or something too. But that didn't work out too well for him. But being evangelistic like Paul takes commitment to do several things, and we want to notice those. First of all, being evangelistic like Paul takes commitment to keep your equipment clean. And keeping your equipment clean, what we mean by that is we're meaning you keep your life clean. You live a life that's going to be exemplary, something that people can look at and see Christ living in you. And that's something Paul strived to do. Even before he became a Christian, when he was persecuting the church, he was thinking that he was trying to do what God wanted him to do. And so he was doing those kinds of things. There's nothing like, you know, getting out the old fishing pole from the last time you went fishing and you find an old dried worm on the hook, or you find, you know, it's all messed up because you didn't clean it up and put it away properly, lines all tangled up, things like that. That's not a good thing. That's a problem when that happens. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 2, he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them. They were washing their nets. That's the kind of thing that fishermen would do. They got to wash their nets. They got to take care of these things. They have to mend their nets. They had a lot of things they had to do to keep their equipment working properly. And the same thing is true of us as Christians. If our lives are full of hypocrisy and full of deceit and guile, and we're not who we claim to be, then people will look at us and not be the slightest bit interested in what we have to say to them about the good news. And that may very well be part of the problem that the evangelical movement in our country has with people, is that they're out there telling people, you know, be like Jesus and Jesus loves you, and you know, and I'm one of Jesus' followers, and then they're out there living just like the rest of the world lives, and people see that hypocrisy, and people aren't impressed by that. They don't want to be like that. They would rather say, well, yeah, you know, I'm living in sin, but at least I'm an honest sinner and not one of those hypocritical Christian people. They'd rather feel that way about themselves than feel like they're pretending to be something they're not. In fact, I've had some people actually tell me that they grew up going to church, that the reason they quit going to church was because they didn't want to be a hypocrite. They weren't living up to the standards and the teachings of the Bible, and because they weren't living up to what the Bible was teaching, they just said, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite and make people think I'm something I'm not, so I'm going to just quit going to church and go ahead and just keep living the way I'm living. And it's odd, isn't it, that instead of correcting their life to get it in line with the Bible, they decided, well, I'll just get the Bible out of my life. That's the wrong direction, obviously, for anybody to go, but it is the way that people think, and that's the kind of thing that people do. 2 Corinthians 7:1, Paul says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So Paul points out, this is our goal. We want to perfect holiness. We talked last week about being undefiled like Noah. We talked about being pure and holy, and we're going to talk about that some more in class in a little while. But these are the kinds of things that we need to consider and think about. Well, the next thing that we want to notice about being evangelistic like Paul is that it takes a commitment to go where the fish are. You know, this fellow right here is probably not going to catch any fish in that little mud hole in the middle of that pothole in the middle of the road. It'd be very unusual if he did, and even if he caught something, I dare say it's going to have to be pretty small coming out of that little spot, isn't it? But you know, we need to think about where we go and where we take the gospel. And do we go and take the gospel? The story is told about the man who wanted to go ice fishing. He'd seen a lot of books on the subject. He finally got all the tools together and he went. Found the nearest ice and got himself positioned on his little stool and cut a hole in the ice and started cutting that hole, and he heard a voice from above that boomed out, "There are no fish there." He was startled by this, but he got up and he moved about 10 or 12 feet further away and began to start cutting the ice again, and again he heard that voice, "There are no fish there." So he moved all the way to the other end of the ice and started cutting again, and finally again the voice said, "There are no fish there." Well, he was shocked by this the third time, and he looked up and he says, "Who's there? Is that you? Is that God?" And the voice replied, "No, I'm the manager of this ice skating rink." So, you know, we've got to go where there are going to be some fish if we're going to catch fish. Too many times in the church and in churches all over the world, really, but especially in the United States, we've followed the pattern of, if you build it, they'll come. And we put up a nice building and we put up a nice sign, and we just think that people are just going to flood in the doors to come hear the good news of the gospel. we think, well, why wouldn't they want to come hear the good news of the gospel? Well, there are several problems with that. First of all, they don't know the good news of the gospel, so they don't know what they're missing. And secondly, they don't know the difference in what we're teaching and in what any other church of the 5,000 churches within driving distance of them is teaching. They don't know. And so they have no reason to come. You see, Jesus did not teach us to let them come to us. He taught us quite the opposite. We've got to go where the fish are. Luke 5:4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Jesus said, you're going to have to go out into some deep water if you're going to find the big fish. The big fish don't hang out right next to shore. They certainly don't come jump in your boat. At least not very often. I've seen some YouTube videos. They may have been faked, though. But I've seen some YouTube videos of some fish that jumped out of the water into the boat. But I know I've never had that kind of luck. And standing on the side of the lake, you're not going to catch the big ones. The big ones aren't going to be right there close to shore. They're going to be out in the deep. And so we're going to have to go out into the world. We're going to have to go out into some uncomfortable places sometimes to find people. We're going to have to get out of our comfort zone of just sitting in a nice, heated, and air-conditioned building on padded pews and think, well, they'll come to us. That doesn't work. It's never worked. It's never been the way it is. In fact, in Matthew 28:19, Jesus is very specific. He says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He says, go. He doesn't say they'll come to you. He says you've got to go to them. I guess part of the problem, maybe, you know, we kind of use the wrong metaphor sometimes. We think of, well, you know, Jesus is the great physician, which he is, and we think, well, you know, when people are sick, they go to the doctor. So if we set up a spiritual hospital called the church and we say, you know, we've got Jesus here and he's the great physician and he'll heal, everybody will just come. But that's not the way that works. Unfortunately, we have to be more like the ambulance service, the EMTs, that get called out to go out and get people and bring them in instead of just waiting at the hospital for the people to come in. It does certainly work at the doctor's office or the hospital. People go because they know what... But there's usually some advertising, especially with the doctor, maybe not so much the hospital because there's usually just one hospital in a town, and so people go to that hospital. But there are a lot of doctors. And that doctor's going to have to get his name out there and let people know what he does. You know, there are lots of different kinds of doctors. So they've got to get his name out there and get that information out there. And we have to about the church as well. We have to let people know that there's something special about the church here. That we are different from other churches. That we're not the same. That we don't teach the same things. We teach something different. We teach what the Bible says. We have to share these things with other people. These are not things that are just going to happen naturally. That people are just going to walk in out of the blue because they saw a sign. It just doesn't happen very often. Then we want to realize that if we're going to be evangelistic like Paul, then it's going to take some commitment to actually fish when you get there. You can go where the fish are, but if you don't actually fish when you get there, you're still not going to catch anything, are you? That's the odd way that kind of thing works. As we think about that, we think about the man who called home to his wife and he said, "Honey, I've been asked to go on a fishing trip, big lake up in Canada, and my boss is taking me and some of his friends, and we're going to be gone for a week." He said, "It's a great opportunity for me to, you know, go hang out with the boss and maybe even get that promotion I've been wanting. Can you pack me up some stuff, enough clothes for a week, and get my fishing rod and reel and my tackle box and together and set it outside? We're going to have to leave. I'm just going to swing by the house and pick it up, and we'll have to go. If you can just set it out in the carport, in the garage." And so she thinks that's a little odd, that they've just suddenly got to go on a fishing trip like that. And so she goes ahead and does what he asks. And when he comes home the next weekend, she says, well, how was the fishing trip? Did you catch any fish? How did things go? He said, oh yeah, it was a great fishing trip. Caught some walleye, caught some bluegill, caught some pike. It was great. But hey, you know, I had asked you to pack my blue silk pajamas for me with those clothes that you packed, and I didn't see them. You didn't pack my blue silk pajamas like I asked you to. She said, actually, I did. They're in your tackle box. Indication is probably he wasn't doing much fishing. If we're going to go out there where the fish are, we've got to actually fish when we get there. The thing is, most of us go out into the world, maybe not every day. Some of us, we stay home some days, certainly. But we go out into the world where the fish are on a fairly regular basis, at least weekly. We go to town, we go to the store, we may go out to eat at a restaurant. We go somewhere where there are people who don't know about Jesus. Or maybe they know about Him, but they don't know the right things about Him. They don't know what we know about Jesus, and we could share that with them. But when we get out there, do we fish or do we just sit in the boat while we're out there? And that's something we need to think about. We need to have a commitment to fish when we get there. In Luke 5 and verse 5, Simon said, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So Peter had that kind of an attitude. Paul did as well. Paul went wherever he went. He started fishing for souls. He was looking for someone who would be interested in the gospel. Sometimes he found them sooner rather than later. Sometimes it took him a little longer to find the people that were interested. But he didn't give up. He kept fishing. We've got to have a commitment to fish when we get there. Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. This verse tells us that there comes a time for all of us as Christians when we ought to be teaching others. It's different for different folks. Not everybody's going to be a babe in Christ at 2 months old and out there teaching everybody. Some people it may be a year or two or five. But when we've been Christians for 30, 40, 50 years and we're still saying, well, I can't teach. I don't know how to teach. The Hebrew writer says there's a time you ought to be a teacher. Now that doesn't mean getting up in front of a class necessarily. That's not when he says teacher. It just means you ought to be able to tell other people what you did to become a teacher, to become a Christian. You ought to be able to teach other people what the Bible says about things. Now that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to listen and learn. That's on their side. But you've got to be able to share those things. There's a time that comes for all of us that we ought to be able to be teachers. Then we've got to realize that we've got to deal with problems that arise. And being evangelistic like Paul, fishing, is going to take a commitment to deal with the problems that may arise. Two old boys from Alabama loved to fish. They wanted to do some ice fishing, so they went up to Canada. The lake was frozen nicely. They stopped just before they got to the lake at a little bait shop, got all their bait and tackle, and needed all their supplies, and they said, well, we're going to need an ice pick. So they got it, and they went back a few hours later. They said, we're going to need another dozen ice picks. And they went back to the lake and came back a couple hours later. They were back, and they said, we're going to need every ice pick you can sell us. We're going to have them all. And the shop owner couldn't believe it. He said, wow, that's amazing. You need that many ice picks. He said, well, how's the fishing going? They said, well, fishing, we hadn't even got our boat in the water yet. They didn't quite understand how ice fishing worked, apparently. We don't do a lot of that down here in the South, do we? But, you know, the fact of the matter is that we sometimes miss that. They couldn't get their boat in the water good enough to go fishing without some help. Luke 5 and verse 6. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. when we do what God says to do, if we do the fishing, there are going to still be some problems. In this case, they caught so many fish, the net started to break. There have been times where churches grew so much that they had to build a bigger auditorium or they had to add on to their parking lot. Those are good problems to have, aren't they? Other times we have other kinds of problems that aren't as good as this one here in Luke 5. In Acts chapter 6, they had a problem as well. As the number of disciples was growing, there was a problem because the Hellenists, the Greeks, the Greek Christians were saying, hey, our widows aren't being taken care of like they should. They're being neglected in the giving of food. And that was a problem. Then fishing is going to take a commitment to help other fishermen. And we have this idea in our society of the lone angler out there with his rod and reel catching the fish. But we've got to remember how it was back in Jesus' time when he talked about fishing. It was a group effort. It wasn't just one guy against everybody else. They worked together as a team. We notice that in the passages that we looked at, and we'll look at that in just a minute. Old man had been sitting ice fishing for quite some time. Notice a lot of these are about ice fishing. But he'd been ice fishing for a good long while and had caught nothing. And a young boy came up and got his hook ready and threw it in the water, and boom, just like that, he caught a fish. And the fellow thought, and he was just a foot or two away from him on and fishing right there in the same area. And he thought, well, how did he do that? It's just beginner's luck, surely. So, a couple minutes later, the boy threw his hook in the water again after getting that one off and taking care of it. He baited his hook, threw it in, caught another one. Just that quick. And the fellow looked at that boy and he said, son, how are you doing that? What's your secret to catching those fish so quick? And the boy said, whoa, 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 whoa. And he said, I'm sorry, excuse me, what did you say? He said, whoa, 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 whoa. And he said, son, I don't know what's wrong, but I cannot understand a word you're saying. And the boy said, "Puh, you've got to keep your worms warm." Well, I don't know about us keeping worms warm, but I do know that sometimes we need to help each other out. Give each other some good advice. Something that's worked for us that might work for somebody else as well. In Luke 5 and verse 7, notice when their boat, they caught the fish, the worms, the nets were about to break, they came and called their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they had so many, even both those boats were about to sink, they had so many fish in them. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And then, unlike this fella, well, I don't know, that might work great using his wife's earring with some hooks on it. Depends on the fish, I suppose. It kind of looks like some of the baits that I've seen, some of the lures. But fishing takes a commitment to use the right bait. If we're going to be evangelistic like Paul, we're going to have to use the right bait. We can't go out there with lies or anything like that. We're going to have to pull people in with the right thing. Stories told about some women fishing, poles in the water, lines in the water, and the game warden comes up and says, excuse me, ladies, I'd like to see your fishing license. They said, well, we don't have any. He said, well, if you're going to fish, you've got to have a license. I'm going to have to ticket you, and you're going to have to quit. They said, oh, no, we're not fishing, officer. Said, really, we've just got magnets on the ends of our lines. We're just getting the tin cans and the debris out of the water. That's all we're doing. And he said, I don't know about that. Pull those lines up. I want to see that. So they pulled them up, and sure enough, on the end of their line, they just had some magnets tied on there. And so he said, well, okay, that's fine. You know, we clean the water up a little bit. Can't hurt. So y'all go ahead. When he left, they said, that stupid fish cop, doesn't he know there's steelhead in this river? Well, anyway, we've got to use the right bait. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, Simon Peter came down and cried, you know, he said, "Jesus, depart from me. I'm a sinful man." And you know, sometimes people think that because they've been sinful, they can't be good fishermen for Christ. But the fact of the matter is, that's exactly what God needs, is people who were sinful, but who have changed their lives. That's some of the best kind of bait. That's some of the best thing to draw other people, is to see how the gospel has worked to change other people. Philippians 2:14-16, there's several things that are mentioned here, but we need to become blameless and harmless, the children of God without fault, to shine as lights in the world. Well, Jesus said, "You're the light of the world." We need to be the light of the world. And we need to think about that. And then finally, the last thing we want to notice is that fishing takes a commitment to give that fishing the first priority. And one of the reasons I've never been a very good fisherman is I never gave fishing first priority. It just wasn't something that was on the top of my to-do list. But when it comes to spiritual fishing for souls, we've got to give it top priority. A story is told about a fellow, him and three of his buddies. They'd been going fishing every Saturday for nearly 40 years. Every Saturday they'd go fishing together. And one Saturday they're out fishing on the lake next to the highway, and as the highway, as the cars are going across the bridge there, a funeral procession comes by. Well, old Joe, he lays his pole down, he takes his hat off and puts it over his heart, stands up while the funeral procession goes by. And his friends, sitting there just really impressed by that, he sits down, puts his hat back on after the procession goes by, and they said, "Wow, that was a respectful thing you did when that funeral procession went by." He said, "Well, you know, it seems the least I could do, seeing how I was married to that woman for nearly 40 years. Well, that's giving fishing first priority right there. And that might be a little extreme, don't you think? Probably so. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes to fishing for men, we need to give it first priority. Luke 5 verse 11, "When they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus." They followed Him. They knew that fishing for men was more important than fishing for fish was. We need to get our priorities in order if we're going to be pleasing to God. 1 Peter 2:9, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So fishing takes a lot of commitment. Evangelism, to be evangelistic like Paul, is going to take a lot of commitment. And we'll look next week in class more at Paul's life itself and the way he implemented some of these principles. But he did all of these things, and we need to do them as well. Keep your equipment, your lives clean. Go where the fish are. Fish when you get there. Deal with problems that may arise. Help other fishermen and use the right bait. And, of course, finally, then we talked about giving fishing first priority. So we need to think about those things. There's the old saying, "You be a fisher of men. You catch them, Jesus will clean them." If you have not been being fishing for men like you should have, if perhaps you are starting to get drawn in on the hook and you want to become a fisher of men, you want to become a Christian, if you need to respond to God's invitation for any reason at this time, please do so as we stand and sing.